Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
It's 3 o'clock on Dukes and Bell.
I find it interesting.
Thanks for making us your sports station.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game.
Oh, we are your sports station, Atlanta. It's Dukes and Bell. Make sure you get some Hey Man L Watermelon Lime for the weekend, man. It's going to be nice and a great time for you to try it if you've not tried it. It's a great time for you to buy more if you haven't already gotten some. But I will tell you, Mike, and I didn't post those pictures the other day. I finally went to Bullock's and just trying to find places around the house here that carry it. And for the most part, I talked about Sprayberry Bottle Shop. Big shout out to Bridge who carries it. And then Bullock's right down the street, they were like, yeah, of course we got it. So there are various places around town, depending on where you live. And again, if you don't have it or they don't have it, make sure you tell them, hey, you want it, and they will order it. And Georgia Crown will get it to them, man. So go get some Hey Man Watermelon Lime.
Yeah. It's good stuff, man. Like I said, those that have had it, and again, we don't want to sell past the close, but and I know we are prone to hyperbole from time to time, but it really is.
Always be
closing. Oh, the beer is that good. Take it from me, and let's hear from my belly. There's a lot of beer in there. I fear no beer. You could just, if you're sitting in a pool or sitting on the lake, I mean, it is the ultimate summer beer, and that's what the flavors we were going for. So I think you're really going to dig it. So get on it, man.
All right, man. Coming up, we're going to get to our NFL Blitz. Lots going on. Falcons release and cut Ito Smith. And we'll continue that conversation with Dave Archer and ask him about what he thinks about the running backs situation. This is what I think right now. That Arthur Smith has come in here. He's evaluated everybody. They've watched tape on everybody. They now know this roster back and forth. He didn't when he got the job. And that's fair because he was focusing on Tennessee. But now that they have, Mike, again, what's the plan? And I think his plan is we got to have not only more durable running backs, but we got to have more guys that are better at picking up these yards in a power run situation, which is why he went out and got, you know, Mike, which I saw a tweet from, by the way. Did you see that where he was welcoming Cordero to the team? He's like, yeah. CP! So, obviously, and again, a lot of these guys know everybody, but I think that's one element. But right. It's not the only one. And I'm talking about running back. From a running back standpoint, we need a couple more guys. And guys, most of these teams now, we've said this, nobody's the Derrick Henrys of the world are rare. When Adrian Peterson was in his prime, those are rare guys. Most teams are running back by committee. And I think that will be the situation here. It doesn't mean that one guy doesn't get a majority of the carries, but you can't rely on one guy to tote the rock like 35 times
a game.
But again,
just because you got Mike Davis doesn't mean if somebody like Ramondre Stevenson from Oklahoma is available, or again, depending on where they're at it too. I mean, if Javonte Williams is sitting there at 35, you've got to take it.
Got to take it.
And then again, it's we know, and Mike Davis is a bit of a stopgap, just the way kind of like Teddy Bridgewater is the quarterback stopgap and was up and is in Carolina. Ito Smith, guys, at the end of the day, 21 games over two seasons. A new regime comes in and says, that's not what we're looking for. So best of luck. So now we move on, and maybe Quadri Allison with the new coaching staff gets taught how to pass protect, because I still think that guy could be a short yardage battering ram, right? But he's still here.
Well, he is. And doesn't that make you feel like, okay, those are the kind of guys that Arthur Smith is looking for? And when I say that, I'm talking about a little bit more bulk.
Right.
He's still got Quadri Allison. I mean, he's not slow. He's still got speed. We just haven't seen enough of him to feel good as Falcon fans to go, yeah, man, I really like what I'm seeing. And again, we don't know if that's him or if it was the last coaching regime, whatever. But Mike's right. He's still here, which tells me as they've done these evaluations, maybe they see a little bit more promise in him.
Hey, man, also today, guys, before we get to the Blitz, Daron Harmon was signed by the Falcons. He's played in the NFL for a number of years. He, by the way, Carl, did start all 16 games for the Lions last year. Mm-hmm. And prior to that, he started in 29 games in his career in New England. So he's got experience, and he's actually been on a team that won a Super Bowl.
Yeah, I think that's what they were going for with this move, is just a guy that knows what he's doing. Yeah, and, you know, everybody talks about coaching guys up, but you're also still going to address the safety position.
Right. He's kind of a hybrid. He can play some safety. He can kind of, you know, as I said, in 15 and 16, he was used as like their third safety.
All right, man. Plenty more to get to. Guys, find us on social media. He is Mike Bell, ATL. I'm at Put 'Em Up, C Dukes. And, of course, this radio show, Dukes and Bell 929. Chris, let's get to an NFL Blitz.
Welcome to the NFL. With news and notes from around the league, this is NFL Blitz on Dukes and Bell.
All right, Mike, first and foremost, pass rush for us. We don't know what this pass rush is going to look like.
Well, we don't have any pass rush right now, Carl.
Well, we don't have any guys that can pass rush. Maybe the scheme allows us to pass rush, but a guy is off the market. I don't think the Falcons are interested, but Aldon Smith is going to Seattle, one-year deal.
I wanted him, though. I thought I'd love to take a flyer, because I thought the price was going to be right. What did they end up signing him for?
I haven't seen the details of it yet. It's a one-year deal. He picked up 5 sacks, 5 tackles for loss, 14 quarterback hits, and 73% of the team snaps last year for the Cowboys. So he leaves the Cowboys, goes to Seattle. Here's the thing about Aldon Smith. When his head is screwed on right.
Right.
He's a beast. He still is a guy that you have to deal with. So, Mike, you know, he's turned his life around. Everybody probably knows the story by now. Mm-hmm. But for Seattle, this was something they were in need of, because they also are looking for more pass rush. But I say that to say that is also an area we really haven't talked about with our team. When you look at the personnel that is currently on this roster and you go, okay, where's the pass rush coming from and who's going to be the dominant guy? I don't know if it's going to work that way. I think you're going to create pressure with this scheme, and it's going to be various guys that get to the quarterback.
Yeah, man, I just was curious, and we don't have, Chris just said in my ear, they don't have the financial terms yet, but I just thought that'd be a guy that, because of his where his career has gone, might be a baller on a budget type player we could have grabbed. But, hey, man, he's a part of the J.J. Watt, Ryan Kerrigan draft class. Again, that was 2011. That was Julio's class.
All right, and we know where J.J. is. He's in right. with the Cardinals now. So, Aldon Smith with the Seahawks. Meanwhile, 5 women suing Deshaun Watson have spoken to police, Mike. This is a Washington Post interview that they did with Tony Busby. He's the guy that's representing them. Guys, we're just keeping an eye on this. The NFL, by the way, still hasn't acted. They haven't put him on the commissioner's exempt list. None of these things have happened that we've talked about as of yet, because these are still civil cases, and I don't know if the NFL doesn't feel like there's enough evidence right now to do anything like that that might affect Deshaun on the field. But this interview includes plenty of flavor and context regarding the maneuverings that happened between lawyers handling the 22 civil cases filed against Deshaun Watson. And the interview also has one significant bit of news, which is kind of interesting. Busby's clients have spoken to Houston police regarding Watson. So this is something that we said, Mike, we figured at some point this would happen. My whole thing was, Busby, turn over all the evidence you have, if it's that damning, and let the police department do their job.
And the best thing for Deshaun, to guys that have been telling me, look, you know, guys are mad at me telling just Deshaun, start cutting checks and just get on with your life, and then, you know, let's get rolling. Hey, if the HPD comes back and says nothing here, then that's obviously, if you're moving forward with the civil case, you've got some juice. And eventually, that's it. I just think his reputation is, you know, again, is taking a big hit the way Big Ben's did. In this case, we don't know what actually happened. In Big Ben, we knew what happened. It was out there. But in this case, I just want to see Deshaun Watson on a good football team in 2021. I'd love to see this thing get resolved purely as a football fan, Carl.
Me too.
And see him land somewhere where he can contribute and be happy.
You know what's being taken away, and I'm not going to diminish, again, if any of this took
place. If this was something like he thought, look, and this is not, if you're a Gainesville Deshaun Watson fan, hold your ears. Carl, if he thought this was the way I could circumvent dating and getting busy during COVID, not the right idea, okay? Because there are women for that. They're called prostitutes, and then there's people that are licensed massage therapists. And if you try to blur those lines, you find yourself in the situation you're in.
Yeah, and my thing is what has been taken away in this conversation, because we've spent a lot of time, not just us, I'm saying people are watching this as we are, is how good of a season Deshaun Watson had last year.
Right. With thinking about the lack of weapons on that team.
I mean, he was incredible. So that's the part, when you talk about just from a pure football standpoint, to see him back on the field, I'm totally with you. Now, we are wondering who may do a deal with us. We currently sit at 4. Will it be the Broncos? Maybe the Patriots? Well, finally, Bill Belichick spoke, held a pre-draft press conference today, and he said that these quarterbacks are intriguing, okay? Quote, it's definitely an interesting group. This is from Belichick. Mm. Now, currently on that New England roster, remember they signed Cam Newton to a one-year deal, and right. Jared Stidham is still there. Stidham is not the answer, and we know that, so you got to have a backup. That's fine. But does that make you think that Belichick is thinking, I got to go get one of these guys?
Yeah. He said Matt Patricia, by the way, is involved in the draft. Again, maybe on the defensive side, that's a good thing. As a head coach, not so good for him, right? But, I don't know. There's an article in the Boston Herald that was saying that they like Fields, that apparently also Belichick likes Trey Lance's upside. And that if in that case you could get to where we are, and if you presume Fields is already gone, you can do Trey Lance or Mac Jones.
I think the Patriots, I'm not going to say they're being sneaky, because it always feels like they're doing something like right. this.
But Belichick, let's be honest, Belichick's got to reinvent this thing. Look, just because you grabbed every free agent that was available is not a guarantee of success. We've seen other teams do that and crap out. I mean, if Jameis, or I should say, you know, Jameis is in New Orleans, if Cam really did have the worst of
you
the COVID fog.
The forgotten
Cam left the dead. Yeah, I mean, if that Cam gets back to, you know, 2014 Cam, well, then the sky's the limit. But, you know, as we said last year, nothing passed the eye test with Cam. So, but they're rolling the dice again with him this year.
I know. And I think, you know, we talked a little bit about this. It's Dukes and Bell. It's our NFL Blitz, brought to you by our friends at Priority Men's Medical Center. Check them out at PriorityMen'sMedical.com. Mike and I both have alluded to this. I can't say it's the reason, because I haven't spoken to Cam personally
right.
this offseason. But the COVID thing, before he got COVID and then after, where he felt like, hey, I'm on a one-year deal, I got to play, but maybe he wasn't completely healthy, might be the reason why he didn't flourish the way we thought he would. Now, maybe he's going to be a year past that. You know, he's completely healthy, Mike, and we see a different Cam. But I have heard those rumors around his camp that did play a role. I don't want to make excuses because, again, it is what it is. And he threw, you know, for what, barely 10 touchdowns last year.
It just, like I said, it did look nothing like – it was like we joked around initially that the Monstars took his skills. There were like two or three games. We mentioned the Seattle game, but that looked like old Cam. And then there were games where he was missing basic throws. And in his defense, not a lot of weapons either. You know, the same thing that Tom Brady had to deal with. I mean, Cam looked around and was like, damn, I had better pieces when I was in Carolina.
It is Dukes and Bell, guys. As we talk about what's going on around the NFL, we're talking about Bill Belichick looking at these quarterbacks. We all know about Trevor Lawrence. By the way, great piece in SI. If you're a Trevor Lawrence fan and you want to go check it out, you know, live in Cartersville, or you've watched Trevor Lawrence like we have, it's an interesting piece. He's another guy that doesn't talk a whole lot. So when you get these in-depth exposés about these individuals and how their lives has changed, one of the things he said, Mike, was interesting. He was talking about when he left Cartersville, and we know how good he was in high school, and then he gets to Clemson, and all the spotlights are on him, and he's saying, at that point, you know, when you become a star, and he's talking not just, you know, not bragging on himself, but he's saying how people see you, then you have to think about your life every day and the things you do. And I really thought that was a mature statement, because he talked about where you're going, right. what you're doing, because people are always watching you. And, you know, we talked about him getting married at such a young age, getting engaged, and he's going to get married. I think, you know, from a maturity standpoint, that's something else we really hadn't talked about with these quarterbacks. But think about it. Mm-hmm. Justin's very mature. Trevor, you know, Trey seems like Trey. Trey Lance seems like a kid that, you know, he's born and raised there. He went to school up there. It's an interesting class from that standpoint, Mike. These are not, for the most part, we haven't seen knucklehead tendencies.
Right. I mean, Trevor, when you think about what was going on with the protest and the fight for social justice, the comments that he made about, you know, bringing the team together, he was on point. Remember, we talked about, wow, that's a kid. We said it at the time. He's, you know, wise beyond his years, to your point about the article, saying there's no chip on the shoulder there. But again, I had some guy, and I got a nasty gram from Cartersville, literally, the other day. No, I was just saying. I mean, you know, at the end of the day, Justin Fields did beat him, and they nearly won the game a year before at Ohio State and Clemson, and that Joe Burrow outplayed him. But again, he checks all the boxes right out of with all the expectations the first year they win the national championship. So it is a good read, though. Definitely check it out. Hey, funny quote. This one I saw just now today when I was reading. I actually do prep, believe it or not. Hear what Jim McMahon said when he was asked about the organization, Chicago and Green Bay?
No, I did not.
McMahon did an interview, and he said, pretty funny, he said that the Green Bay, it's the best team, the best organization that I played for, by you know, top to bottom. You know, he talked about when he was in Chicago and his career then ended in Green Bay, if you don't remember. But basically what he says is, he goes, Green Bay is a place where, you know, quarterbacks can develop and they can succeed. He goes, Chicago is where quarterbacks go to die.
He's right. I mean, he's right.
Good point.
I mean, Trubisky, whether you think he's got the talent or not, that, you know, now he's gone. They're sort of like the Dolphins in the
post-Marino time. Right.
Yes. Who have they gotten since, you know, we're talking 30 years now.
Right.
Who's been that guy? Now, they went to a Super Bowl, but who was it, Rex Grossman?
Yeah, the Bears with the – maybe we used to joke around, a gross Rexman. Rex Grossman, and then later on it was Jerkface Cutler. And Cutler, of course, famously with the knee, wouldn't go in the game. Kyle Orton came in there. But, yeah, man, Cutler. I can't think about the Bears without that. I tell Carl the story all the time. Being in an Uber ride going to watch a Blackhawks game a couple years ago. You got to tell all your listeners about what a blank off Jay Cutler is.
Well, speaking of Green Bay, real quick, I want you to hear Charles Woodson, because this is a quarterback situation that's happening there. They say they don't have the money right now to pay Aaron Rodgers, which is technically not true. Without being a, you know, going right into the in-depth details of this, the Green Bay Packers could do a deal right now and extend Rodgers and give him the money he wants. They're just choosing not to. Rodgers, or should I say Woodson, talked about Rodgers' status in Green Bay.
I think it's one of those situations where, you know, there's all this talk swirling around him and Green Bay. And, you know, I think it could be one of those situations where it gets nasty at some point somehow. I mean, I certainly hope that doesn't happen. But, you know, where there's smoke, there's fire. You know what I mean? So this could be a situation where before you know it, you know, somebody makes a play or makes some kind of offer, you know, for Aaron Rodgers, and Green Bay can't refuse and say, you know what, hey, you know what, we'll go our separate ways. He wants to be somewhere else, and you know what, we'll go on with the future of the team.
Thanks to CBS Sports Radio, Charles Woodson, Hall of Famer Charles Woodson. Hey, let's give you a chance to win some money right now. Plant, P-L-A-N-T, plant is the word. Text it to 72881, 72881 right now from your cell phone. But don't do it while you're driving, guys. Do not text and drive. Message and data rates do apply. And for all the info, it's at 929thegame.com/rules. Plant, Mike, is the word.
All right, I just traded back into the first round. You want Najee Harris or you want Travis Etienne?
Najee Harris.
I'm doing my mock draft. Well, some people remember how good ETN was. Either way, we're going to plant a running back there in the backfield that's going to be good for years. We gave away $1,000. Every show's giving away $1,000. Plant to 72881. Get in it to win it, man.
I'm excited about that. 5 o'clock hour last week, we had a winner in coming. It could be you this week. What are you waiting on? All right, we're coming back. Hawks, big matchup tonight. It's Unity Night down at State Farm Arena. We'll dive in next.
Is coming, Carl.
Yeah, this weekend, by the way, I think it's the 17th, so it'd be what, Saturday? It's the 10-year anniversary from the start of Game of Thrones this weekend. Mm-hmm. And so they're showing all kind of stuff. And yeah, I think you said you went back and watched a little bit of it.
Yeah.
It's one of my favorite
Watched a Ned Stark
shows.
Get the chop.
Yeah, man. So I think people will be digging it. Maybe diving back in. But, yeah, this weekend, if you see a lot of stuff about Game of Thrones, that's its 10-year anniversary. Hey, man, it's Dukes and Bell. Real quick, I do want to mention this, Mike, because I think it's really cool. And before we talk about the Hawks.
And, by the way, we did that because Mentor just is bombing right now at Truist Park.
Did you see what Michael Jordan is going to do?
Yes, I thought it was unbelievably classy and awesome.
Yeah, I you know, it's one of those things. Last year was so weird because, remember, the Baseball Hall of Fame – did happen, you know, NBA, all the things that we normally get a chance to see in the summer didn't take place. And so with the death of Kobe Bryant, Michael Jordan is going to be the presenter for Kobe Bryant. And, you know, we saw, I don't know if people realize how close they were until after his death, that, you know, Kobe talked to him frequently and, you know, they communicated and all of that. But I just thought it was a really cool thing for Michael to do and to be there. He also, you know, spoke at his funeral there when they had it at Staples, the where everybody was talking, but Michael Jordan is going to basically present Kobe into the NBA or into the Basketball Hall of Fame, should I say. With that said, man, Hawks tonight against Milwaukee, and what's going to happen? Who's healthy? By the way, is this John Collins thing worrying you a little bit?
Yeah, man, we need him. I mean, I know that we've heard so much about you know, everybody else's injuries, and now you know with the you know, the Nets and with the, you know, you mentioned the Bucks, and Giannis may or may not play tonight. But, yeah, John Collins, we got to get him out there because we've seen – the good news is the reserves, if you want to call them the reserves, are the second rotation that we talked about with Coach Nate earlier in the week. They're doing a fantastic job. But now to win the playoffs, you got to have John out there with Capella. You know, you got to have DeAndre Hunter as a glue guy out there along with Trey. But, yeah, I mean, this thing is nothing has gone to plan as far as what we initially – and, again, that's not the Hawks' fault. I mean, it's medicine. Right? Things, some guys respond to treatment, others don't. But nothing is what it was supposed to be as far as the duration of these guys not playing.
Yeah, I just – and again, I don't want to be, you know, a worrisome kind of person.
But
I am – is this thing a little bit more serious than what we assumed it is?
That's what you start – I mean, it's human nature. How do you not think that?
He's out. He's been out longer than I thought. You know, we've seen Bogdanovich and all these other guys come back, Gallinari. But JC is – we need JC. You know, we talked about not trading him, and it was dumb if they did. They didn't. And now he's out. And it's not as if we're not surviving without him. I mean, hell, Trey missed the game the other night and we won. But for us to be what we think we can be, we need John Collins out there. So it doesn't look like he'll play tonight again. But I just bring that up because it's one of those things that's just kind of out there, Mike. And we're talking about all these other injuries. And what's going on with John Collins?
Yeah, man. Meanwhile, yeah, I'm just trying to give Coffrey a good camera angle here in studio, Carl, on Twitch. Don't forget you can watch
us. Is he in studio too?
No, but he's in my ear. Like, if you could just move the mic to the right. But anyway, yes. We're in Studio Bunker. Just saw Andy and Randy. Randy's really excited. They're going to do an interview with Grady Jarrett. And Randy was just talking about how much he loves driving into the city about 3 o'clock in the afternoon. But yeah, man, I talked to a couple guys on Twitch. A couple guys
Randy
hit us up.
He lived in a high rise in the city. I thought he had a penthouse in the city.
I don't know.
Right
maybe
there.
Back in the day, you know, as all the players do here in the A.
But I could have sworn he had like a penthouse pool up there on the roof. That no
stately Mac mansion. You know what I mean? Just look for the golden arcs, but or the iron arcs. You know, like anybody parking in the driveway.
Well, let's be honest. Randy's talking about driving into work. Randy has a car service that picks him up. Guys, don't believe
that's
the
true.
Hype.
It's true. It's called. It's called. I believe it's called a bougie black car service. I believe it's called. And if you don't listen to the show, you must, because we're all having fun here. Number one sports station in the Southeast. Listen to freaking Hugh, listen to Randy and Andy, and listen to us. And we all give away money, and we have fun, and Angry Chuckery later tonight. It's all good, man.
Yeah, Joe, man. We're messing with
what's up, Joe?
Thanks for taking my call. Hugh, I moved to Atlanta from Philadelphia. I'm a huge fan. I love listening to you every day, man.
Well, I ain't Hugh, so obviously you don't listen enough.
Well, tell him. We'll let you know. We'll pass that along.
I love it, man. I love it. You know what? And Randy is right. Listen, it happens. People get, you know, mistaken by people. Mm. We don't all look alike. But I understand. A brother called in and he was trying to, you know, relate that he listens to Hugh. He was on from 6A to 10A. And so that's a funny bit. But with that said, man, no, we're just messing with Randy. I can't wait to hear what Grady has to say. That's somebody we haven't heard from, Mike. I haven't talked to Grady in a minute, so I'm curious to see what he has to say about all these changes.
But you talked about it. I mean, right now, you know, we got the Braves, and we'll talk more about them coming up in the Braves reported 5. But they are struggling right now. And again, that they should be winning. They're losing because the bullpen is jacked up. The Hawks. Now, I got to be honest. I'm really excited about the Hawks. We're doing this without the stars. And by the way, shout out to Kendrick Perkins, who we've had on the show a couple of times.
What Perks say?
He's one of the few guys in Connecticut working at ESPN who actually knows the Hawks exist and the amazing job. He did a shout-out on Twitter, and I gave him a shout-out saying, thanks, tell those idiot producers at ESPN that we exist down here. But he was basically saying what a great job that Nate McMillan has done and how the Hawks are doing it without our stars right now.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Thanks, you.
It's true. You know, I make fun of Kit Perk because he's so country, but the way he comes across. But he's right, man. I don't care if anybody else doesn't recognize what's going on with our team. Mike and I always talk about this. You know, we struggle, not us, but our teams, even when we're doing well, to get the exposure we need.
Right.
Tonight's a TNT game. So, you know, Steve Holman said this. You know, maybe tonight, if we fare well and they talk about how well this team has been playing and what's been going on with us, maybe more people will start to recognize. You know, speaking of that last night, you know, I woke up this morning. I already had guys hit me up. You see what Luka did? Yeah, I saw it. I saw that lucky-ass shot Luka hit, okay?
But again, immediately the ESPN producers, oh! I can't do the hand gesture on video, but you get the idea. Yeah, I mean, it's like He's getting the love. I think having a, you know, Mark Cuban is a known entity. Tony Ressler is not a high-profile owner yet. Maybe he will be. Maybe he won't. But, I mean, the Mavs are an easy story for them to tell, and it's easy when Luka's making shots like that drop.
Yeah, it was crazy. I mean, it's a crazy shot because it's one, you know, he would tell you it was lucky. You just throw it up and hope it goes in, but it should have never come to that. You know, jerk face, Grayson Allen, Mike, goes in line, could have made this game, you know, put it out of hand.
Right.
He misses both free throws. He's a 90% free throw shooter, which gave the Mavericks a chance to come back down and win it, which is what they did. I say all that to say Mike's right. They get love regardless, and whether it's them or pick your team. Here we are playing really well. I don't know if anybody's playing better this month than our Hawks,
right.
And yet nobody is really talking about him outside of Kendrick Perkins, who you just mentioned.
Hey, man, we got plenty to be excited about with obviously this Falcons season. I mean, everybody's jammed up as far as what we're going to do with the fourth pick. We've got Arch coming up next hour. We'll get hit. We'll put him on the spot. What are you doing it for, Arch? Are you trading down? We'll see what he has to say about that. But, I mean, I'm just this time of year, there's just so many cool things that are happening. We just spoke with Anton Walks. United, we're going to have the home opener in 2 weeks. We start the season next week. There's just so much stuff. I love it. It's such a great time of the year, man.
All right, guys.
Other than what the Braves are doing right now, which is giving us a freaking heart attack.
404-741-0929. It is our Solomon Brothers Diamond text line. Some people agreeing with your premise earlier about not spending money and, you know, maybe making this team better where they should have. Others saying, you know what, with me, that the guys that are getting paid on this roster who can hit are not hitting right now. And it's something we started the show talking about because there are bigger issues than just the wins and losses. Yeah, the losses are going to continue to pile up if we don't start hitting as a collective group. No team in Major League Baseball, I don't care who, pick the star over the years, can carry a team throughout the course of the season. I don't care how good Acuña is. You need help. And right now, he's just not been getting that from everybody.
The bullpen has really been rough. Now, again, there was we're old enough to remember when you'd have a pitcher close a game out and could actually pitch again the next day, even if it was a day game. But, of course, that doesn't happen, so we're not going to see Will Smith. So they went with Minter. Minter gives up, and, of course, it's Duvall who hits a double and then scores. And so the Braves are trying to, you know, force extras again, and we get the Mickey Mouse man on second. Apparently, according to some friends of mine that are at the ballpark, chance of Shane Green. So at least Braves fans know, A, have a sense of humor, and know what's out there. And, oh, by the way, if Alex wants to and Liberty will let him spend the money, Shane Green is not playing baseball for a team right now.
No.
They need him now, Carl. They may have to just bring him back. And, again, guys, don't kill Alex. They don't give Alex the money to spend, you know? I'm not trying to sit here and kiss up to him because he's on our show. I'm just telling it like it is. Melanson, I know Carl said it. Maybe they should have spent more money for Melanson. I thought it was maybe time to move on from Melanson, to be quite honest with you.
He was good last year. I mean, I haven't watched a Padres game to see what he's doing out there. But for us, in what we needed him to do last year, I thought he was really good, man. And I would have, if it was me, okay, you know, hindsight's 20/20, I would have brought back this bullpen, especially the back half, intact. Because it gave you a plan. We talked about this. What are you doing in the 7th, 8th, and 9th? Right now, early in the season, Snit is searching to find what he wants to do and how he's going to close out these games with leads.
Right.
And that was set last year. And you could have brought that same group back and felt really confident about it. And then if you needed to make adjustments, you could have done that at the All-Star break, or not at the All-Star break, but the trade deadline. And so now, Mike, you know, he may have to do more than what he expected to do. It's Dukes and Bell,
by the way,
guys.
Carl, I'm sorry, one hit in 6 innings, 5 Ks right now for the Padres.
Yeah, well, and by the way, the Padres, or is it, who am I thinking? Oh, I'm thinking of the Indians I'm thinking of. Their pitching staff has been incredible so far this season. I was looking at something earlier today. I don't know where it is, but yeah, it's not the Padres. Maybe it's the Indians. All right, coming up, man, we got Yeah Man, No Man. Seth Emerson's going to join us 4 o'clock to talk about the Dogs and G-Day. Dave Archer. It's all on the way right here on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game at Odyssey.com. Dukes and Bell, guys, coming up 4 o'clock hour. We'll talk some Dogs with our buddy Seth Emerson. We'll get his thoughts on what to expect Saturday for G-Day. Hey, man, lots going on, and we're keeping you up to date. 5:40, we'll go around the yard with the Braves and get you caught up on what's happened today as well as where this team is going. They will hit the road, by the way, and take on the Cubs on the road tomorrow. With that, let's get to Yeah Man, No Man. All right, Bo, what is going on, man? The weather hot, cold now today. It's a beautiful day. Hopefully it'll be a nice weekend. It feels good outside. What's going on with you today, man?
Yeah, man, it was breezy and overcast this morning when I got out of the gym and had to rush home and do a little splash and dash. Me and Mike Conti and Knox Bardeen helped produce it, put another edition of the show out on Facebook Live. So I've been raring to go all day, amped, ready to do this. Let's hit the ground running. Look, we all know that the Washington football team is
WTF.
Yeah, well, WFT.
Whatever.
But I always read it as WTF, like you said it, and it always makes me kind of stop. But they're looking for a new name. They are decided to float some names out.
Okay.
To some fans, and so fans have been tweeting about it, and so I'm gonna go through some of these names. I want to get y'all's take. So I'll say a name, and you can give me a little bit on it, and we can move on. So one guy said he took a survey, and of the names that he was asked to weigh in on, I'm going to say it, the Washington Aces.
The Aces?
That's horrible.
The Aces.
Yeah.
That's horrible. I mean, you might as well just call him the Washington Filibuster. You know what I mean?
Wait till you hear the next one.
So let me ask you this before you go on, because these are names that are thrown out to maybe that maybe some of them or one of them will stick, the Washington football team, which they're carrying into next season. These names have been trademarked. Are they going to have to pay for these names?
I can't believe anybody had trademarked the Aces because it's so bad. We had heard like the Red Hawks, Red Tails, things like that. Somebody had already snatched up, right,
okay.
Squid?
Okay.
Yeah, and actually Red Tails is on here. But this is one that just makes – I mean, this one just doesn't sound at all anything like make any sense. I'm just – I don't even know how to put this out. The First City Football Club.
Oh, that's terrible. That sounds like a soccer
what?
Team.
Yeah, I mean, I always thought in corporate D.C., you know what I mean, Carl? You know, like, you know, but I mean, like, I don't know. I mean, but what? Washington, the First City – who thinks of Washington as the first city?
Well, I think it's a play on – you know, first woman, you know, presidents living there, that kind of thing.
Yeah, whatever.
Nobody
outside D.C. thinks like that, Carl.
Yeah, that just sounds like if you said that to a random person who didn't follow sports or they did and you said, what's his name sound like? I think it sounds more like a soccer name.
Yeah, it does. It sounds like – it doesn't even sound like a Premier League, but like one of the lower – like Ted Lasso would be coaching them.
Right.
That's a good show, though, right? Everybody talks about that
show. Yeah, I finally got into it. I thought it sounded so schlocky at first, but it's really well done. It's very funny.
Yeah, man.
Yeah, I enjoyed it, too. It was it's so easy to watch, man. Every once in a while, you watch all these murder, mystery. Like, so I watched Ted Lasso, and then I turned around and watched The Morning Show, which was the complete opposite. But it's good to have that switch up when you're watching shows. Now, I like this name, but, you know, I'm biased because I work with a guy. The Washington Archers.
Okay, so here's the thing. When you talk about these names from a markability standpoint, because to me, that's the other part of this, right? And I know the Redskin thing, you know, they changed the name, but I will say this. For all the years that, you know, you watch the Cowboys and Redskins, or at least I did, there was something about the logo and the connection to it, Mike. I don't know. Like the Washington football team right now, I don't even know what that is. That's just right. A name, right? The logo has to transcend the name. Like the Falcons, you think about it, you see our logo, you go, oh, that's tight. I don't know, man, Bo. That's the other part of this. Like the name, I'm hearing you, but I don't know what the logo or the symbolism is going to be.
Well, I don't know. That would be like somebody with an arrow, I guess. What do you you know what they could do? If they were the archers, they could keep that that arrow-looking spear that they had on the helmets when Steve Spurrier took over.
Which was so weird for Spurrier to have the throwbacks that look so much like the Seminole helmets. You're right.
Yeah, it was weird. Now, this one, I don't know what you would – the Washington Demon Cats.
What? Who's making these like bad arena names?
Arena football.
Yeah, you might as well just call them as I said. How about the Washington Cesspool, the Washington Swamp, the Washington Bureaucrats? You know? I mean, like, remember the old Schoolhouse Rock, Carl? Hey, Bill, now you're a law. You know, the Washington Bills, you know? You know?
That's good.
I'm just a Bill.
I'm just a lonely old Bill on Capitol Hill.
Right. That's actually really good, to be honest with you.
That makes me laugh.
And it connects to the community, right? That's what they do.
What are they
the Washington lobbyists. Now that makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Per capita.
The bureaucrats.
Right.
The Washington bureaucrats. There you go. Here's one. The Washington Armada.
That's not bad. It's not the worst. It's not the worst. I mean, the Navy is headquartered in D.C. I mean, you know. The Washington Sentinels.
Here's the thing.
That sounds
guys.
Like was that the name?
That was the Replacements.
That was the movie. That was the name of the Replacements, Carl, with Gene Hackman in the straw hat.
And I like that name. I didn't have a problem with that. But here's the thing: when you say the name, okay, right, it should resonate with you. I remember when the Texans were doing this before they entered the league, and everybody, you know, you had the Oilers, which was perfect. And everybody was, you know, they had a naming contest, and they were trying to get all these names, and there were hundreds of thousands of names being out there. And then finally, McNair, who owned the team at the time, and his son now runs it, was just like, listen, we're Texans. That's it. And everybody's like, that's kind of corny. But then with the horns and the bull and
cool.
all that,
right.
It looked cool.
And
that's what I'm saying.
And the Cowboys, you said it, the Cowboys were the Texans right before they became the Cowboys in 1960, right?
So it's, you know, but I'm just, that's as recent because that's the last team to enter the league. But I'm
would
just
you
saying,
argue that all the good names have been taken at this point?
It's hard not to argue that, Mike.
Right. I mean, it's just there's the Washington Attack. I mean, it sounds like a bad lacrosse team. You know what I mean? Well, it's just, yeah. I don't know where you're going with that.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's that we're so used to the names that we've had for so long that it just kind of, anything else sounds just dumb. Like, I don't, maybe you guys understand this. I have no understanding of why this would be on the list, but there is the Washington Griffins on here.
Okay, what? The griffin, the magical lion with wings, right?
Or
the
yeah.
Right?
Now, see, that's a cool logo, but again, does that res- like does that
yes,
resonate?
Carl, as a Harry Potter fan, I would support the griffins.
No, wait, is that the thing from the Neverending Story?
No, yes. That's the, well, it's a lion with wings. Yes, that's right. Yeah. I'm not sure what you would call the character from the Neverending Story, the big dog with
dog with yes. wings. Yes. I thought.
Now that's a different character. Neverending Story.
I think
Chris, why are we not playing Neverending Story
right
now?
The big white was it the big white
yeah,
dog.
Yeah, it was a big fluffy dog that's with wings. Right. Yeah, I love that. I wish I could have
didn't
been that
have
child.
Wings, though?
Yes,
that
it did.
Wings, right?
It's a flying dog. Like that? Why is that? Because I love that. When we talk about again, how about the Washington Minotaurs, Carl? I'll hang up and listen. I'm now right now. I'm just computing wins above replacement for Dansby based on his walk-off base knock. That's my baseball nerd voice for those that are not computing this nonsense.
By the way, the guy that came in last night for the Marlins that was throwing like 98, was his name was Garcia. I Googled him.
Yes.
Or I was looking him up on Major League Baseball. Do you guys know how many Major League Baseball players there are with the last name of Garcia?
Oh, tons.
I'm going to say many.
Tons. I don't
Give
know
me an over and under.
Tons.
I'd say there's 105.
Yeah, I would say I agree with Mike. 100 plus.
43.
I what? Guess I
on
went,
an active
I went over.
Roster.
If this is
on
the price is right,
roster.
Carl, I'm out.
I am too. I should have bet a dollar is what I should have done.
How many people are named Jesus? Of course, naming your son after a celebrity doesn't guarantee success.
All right, real quick, guys, before we got to get out of here, you know, Aaron Rodgers.
I just blew Chris's mind. Jesus is Jesus, Chris. Work with me. Never mind. Back to you, Squid Billy.
Hey, real quick, Wait. Though. Chris Bleacher says, Dukes and Bell, Cowboys were not the Texans. Chiefs were the Texans before they moved to KC.
Ah, good point.
You're right.
You
good
are
point,
correct,
Chris.
Sir.
You're right.
Wait.
How about Havlicek?
Lamar Hunt was the
That's
owner
right.
of the Chiefs. That's right.
Did Chris really not know what Jesus was?
I don't know, man. Chris is a baseball nerd. That's why I love this guy. He really is. He
Theater
loves
of the mind, Bo. Way to ruin it.
Hey, you know what? I mean, you said a couple of things that you didn't know that I can't believe you didn't know, and movies you haven't watched, so I had to ask. Don't get on to me.
Our fearless leader, Bo, once again, coming in so clutch, saving the radio program. Thank you, Bo.
All right, let's ratchet you know up the what? Tension between these two. Go ahead, Carl.
Why don't you go watch Goodfellas and pipe down? Go get your own segment if you want to turn your mic on.
Wow.
Hit my music.
Wow, he doesn't have to. He didn't have to hit the music. He's controlling
Hit my
the
music.
Music. He can play that.
I want to
hear I want to hear the never-ending story from them all. Never mind.
Chris, by the way, just so you know, Craig, our former engineer, producer, to just PO Bo, he would play random stuff that Bo would ask for, and then he wouldn't know what Bo was going to ask for. So Bo would go, hit my music, and he'd play something that was completely off cuff. All right, man. We're going to talk to Seth Emerson. Before we do, we'll tell you what happened at Truist Park. Finally, it's next.
Mm-hmm. We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.